Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
Are you guys ready for the Word of God? All right. I want to tell you a story I heard. It was about an airplane that was about to crash. This airplane had four very important people on board. Okay? But the problem was they only had three parachutes. So the first person who was flying, this very important person, says, "I am a brain surgeon. People need me. I can save many lives." So he takes that first parachute and jumps off. The second guy says, "I'm a very important person. I'm a NASA scientist and engineer. I'm very important. My country needs me. My government needs me. Science needs me." So he grabs this backpack and jumps off the plane. The third person on the plane is Billy Graham. He looks at a kid who's 10-year-old Boy Scout and says, "Listen, I lived a good life. I'm old, I'm frail, I'm okay to meet my master. Why don't you take my parachute and jump?" The boy said, "Sir, we have two parachutes left. See, the smartest man alive just jumped out with my backpack." Last week, I promised that we were ending the series, Grace Beyond Karma. However, today's message might sound like I'm not ending the series. I'm going to talk about grace a little bit more. And I promise after Dr. James 10, we'll start a new series. It was just not cool for me to start a new series today and then stop preaching next week, you know, and then, yeah, you'll forget it all. All right. And so today I want us to open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. In this story, we see a picture of God's grace and what it makes us do and what it does for us. In this story, you will see yourself and you will see God and how God responds to us people. Are you ready to read? Okay. One day, David asked, "Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, let's stop here a second. Who is Saul? Saul is first king of Israel. David is the second king of Israel. Saul hated David. Would some of you know this story? Actually, he hated him so much, he was jealous of him, he was suspicious of King David so much that he dedicated up to 15 years of his life to chase David through the desert with an army. David lived on the run, national hero. David was a national hero. He killed the Goliath, and now he's running away, running for his life. Imagine this. This is not a police, Sioux Falls Police Department chasing you. This is FBI. Sioux Falls Police Department is limited to Sioux Falls. But FBI is a nationwide organization. And so Saul employs his spies. He employs special forces. Actually, the Bible says he takes 3,000 of the best soldiers. This is not just somebody just going through boot camp. He's getting the best soldiers around, and he is putting everything to make sure he's going to kill this young kid named David. David was a teenager. Wow. See, in our culture, teenagers are stupid still. That's what we think of them. Fear, right? Like, they don't think about these kind of things. They want to play video games. In that culture, notice that David already is in the army fighting Goliath. Now, I probably offended somebody. I just dug myself in a hole. I didn't mean the word stupid. I meant the word young and irresponsible yet. That's what I meant. Thank you. Unexperienced, irresponsible. You know, their head is still not in it. And David is already, thank you, Lord. I just caught myself. Too late, but still. And so Saul is running, chasing a kid named David. David gathers a small army of people, up to 600. And I'm thinking, how? 20-year-old David? 21-year-old? An army already? This guy was gifted. See, it's not the age. It's the gift. It's the gift. And so, what would you do if you would become a king? What would you do to the family who were persecuting you for 15 years of your life? You know what they did in those days? They would kill everybody from a previous administration. Everybody. That was the norm because they didn't want for rebellion to rise up. And then the people would naturally put into leadership or rulership a family of somebody who is a king. And so there's this guy, crippled guy, he's hiding. He's living in hiding because he doesn't know what King David will do. Now King David is on the throne. And so he asks, watch what he says. Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? See, we have been brainwashed to live with I've been hurt. People have been against me. I had a hard childhood. And a lot of us live with that. When are you gonna heal? When are you gonna heal and move on? Because until you are healed, you cannot do what King David is about to do. Next verse, number 2. So he summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them, or grace. I want to show them grace. See, people who have received grace, people who got the revelation of grace, give grace. Mean people are probably still under the law. Mean people are still condemned in themselves. They're still condemning themselves, and that's why they can't give you grace. They don't have any. But at this point in his life, David received something. Here's how I know, because he said, sacrificing and offering, you didn't want God. He realized that the law and the system of law is not good enough. He said, you want my heart. I would give you all the bulls and sheep and sacrifices and goats that you want, but that's not what you want, God. You want me. You want my heart. What did David experience that he said that?